Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and we appreciate especially our visitors, and it's good for us to be able to come out and worship God this morning. I want to conclude our series of lessons that we've had over the past few weeks concerning how we got the Bible, the story of God's revelation from God to man. And we want to conclude that this morning, and I hope that this material has been helpful to all of us. We've been talking about the various links in the chain of God's revelation from himself to mankind. And that certainly is not complete until there has been application of God's word to our lives. We can carry around Bibles in our hands, but until it gets into our heart, it does no good. And the Bible is the most printed book in the world. They're everywhere. They're in hotels. They're in offices. They're laying around in homes, in many homes, collecting dust. They are everywhere. And yet, it is a book that is little applied to mankind. And we're seeing more and more as we go along that we live in a world where there is less and less of God's word in our heart, in our lives. They're still laying around, but applied. And we've got to be very careful as parents, especially in raising children in a world like this. It's easy to be viewing other things, not necessarily bad things, but just other things, spending time with all of that and not with God's word. And so we're in a climate, we're in a culture where there is a lack of application of God's word and the sharing of God's word. And so I want to close with that. We began our series of, just to recap a little bit, we began our series of lessons with the idea of revelation, where God speaks to mankind. And I want to raise some questions by way of review this morning. First of all, what good is it for God to reveal his word if it's not going to be applied? The very first lesson we had was taken from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God speaks. God speaks. He spoke in former times, and he speaks to us today through his Son. And so the first link in the chain is revelation, God speaking. But what good is that if we're not going to apply it? God can be speaking all day long. And we as parents have experienced that sometimes with our children. We're speaking, we're mouthing words, but it's not getting across. It's not being applied. So here, God is speaking, but what good is that if it's not going to be applied? And then in our part one of this series, we also looked at the matter of inspiration. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is inspired of God. The Greek word theopneustos, literally God breathed. And so God breathes into the prophets his word. It's guided by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Men were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. They weren't just speaking their human words, but it's the very inspired word of God. But what good is all of that? What good is it to have the Holy Spirit superintend and guide and guard every little word that is spoken and written? What good is that, the meticulous supervision of every little word, if at the end of the day we're not going to apply it? What good is that? You see, the story of God's word from himself to us, it's not just some interesting little history lesson. Well, that's cool. You know, you got some manuscripts, and Tyndale, you know, he translated some things in English, and that's kind of some neat history. It needs to be very personal and practical, and that is that we've got to get it into our lives and into the lives of our children. And I see young people today, they're disinterested. Their mind is in another world. It's not about spiritual things, God's word. And so we've got to be very careful about that as parents, and we've got to watch over that. We've got to speak up. We've got to say some things. We've got to lay down some boundaries. We've got to lay down some rules. We've got to get God's word in our life. And then, of course, we have to set that example as parents. And then in the next part of our series, we talked about how that God, after speaking And then number two, inspiring what he spoke, breathing that out and controlling that by the Holy Spirit. He wanted that to be documented. He wanted that to be written down on manuscripts. And so Isaiah 30 verse 8, he tells Isaiah to write it in a tablet and put it in a book. There is the documentation of God's word. But what good is all of that if it's not going to be applied at the end of the day? And then in the next part, part three of our series, we talked about how that God, through His providence, allowed the books to be collected together. The 39 books of the Old Testament, excluding anything that was not His Word, and the 27 books of the New Testament, and excluding what is called apocryphal books, things that are not His Word. Why do all of that if we're not going to apply it? Peter talks about Paul's epistles and the other scripture. And so there's the beginning of the forming together, what we call the canon or the list or the rule of scripture. We had a whole lesson on that. But why do all of that if we're not going to apply it? If we're not going to pick it up and read it and digest it and put it into our life? If it's just going to sit there as a dead book, what good is all of that? And so we are beginning to see that there's a couple more links in the chain before we finish the series. It doesn't end with the manuscripts. It doesn't end with the documents. And it doesn't end with a scribe writing that out. There's another link in the chain that's extremely important. And then in part four of our series, we talked about how that God, again, through His providence, preserved His Word through the copying of Scripture. There was Scripture and then the copying of Scripture. For example, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18, the king was to make a copy of Scripture. And we had a whole lesson on how that we have over 5,000 manuscripts of Scripture, more than any other book in the world. But so what? If we're not going to apply it. If we're not going to take what's written on those manuscripts and apply it in our life. We looked in part five of our series just last week, the sacrifices that many men undertook to translate the Word of God into a language that you know. You don't have to go out and learn Hebrew. You can read the whole Old Testament without learning any Hebrew. You can read the entire New Testament without learning a lick of Greek, because some man learned that for you and for me and then translated that into English or whatever other language that is around the world. And we should appreciate that. And we talked about the matter of translation. And even in the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles, they would quote from a translation. They used the Hebrew Old Testament, but there were times when they used a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament called the Septuagint. It was in existence even before their day, and there's evidence that they quoted from that. I believe the quotation from the Ethiopian eunuch in Isaiah 53 is word for word out of the Septuagint. He had a copy of that, and then Philip preached to him Jesus out of Isaiah 53. So we had this entire lesson on translations. But what good is that if we're not going to apply it? And so it brings us to our lesson then this morning. We want to look at two final links in the chain, and that is application and propagation. God wants us to apply His Word. And God's Word has not gotten to us until there's this final link. Somebody says, well, here's God's Word right here. Nope, there's one other thing. It's got to go from here to here. And then we're beginning to see the final link in the chain. There's one other instrument that God uses to record His Word. And you might be thinking, well, what is that? Well, we got a Bible, and here's some paper. Is Chris about to talk about, you know, electronic devices? What's the instrument? What's the medium? There's one other thing mentioned in Scripture. Do you know what it is? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. There's one other instrument. There's one other medium that God once used, and that is the tablet. Everybody wants a tablet today. Listen up, young people. We all want a tablet. Okay, here's a tablet I want you to be thinking about this morning that's extremely far more important than that 7-inch tablet or whatever tablet you have. this is more important than that. It's the tablet, listen, of your heart. And God wants His Word written on the tablet of your heart. There's one other writing instrument. There's one other place where God wants it written. And it has nothing to do with scrolls of leather and vellum and parchment and all of that. That's been previous lessons. There's one other thing. It's your heart. And God better be writing it there, or all of this other is a complete waste of time. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon is talking about how that the commandments and the laws which come from God's Word. This is not his own personal commandments and laws. This is not just parents' rules. This is God's Word. My son, forget not my law. That is the law that ultimately comes from God. Let thy heart keep my commandments. And for length of days and years of life and peace will they add to thee. And let not kindness and truth forsake thee. That's why we're talking about God's Word, truth. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tablet of thy heart. That's the tablet that we all need to have. The same thing in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. What's the story of God's Word from Himself to us? Well, we've looked at that story through a series of lessons. And we're now beginning to see the end result. It has to be applied. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Again, in chapter 7 and verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the tablet of thy heart. That's a tablet that every one of us here this morning needs to have, and it's got to have God's Word on it. And as parents, there's nothing wrong with, you know, our children having electronic devices and make sure that they have all of that. But if they don't have God's Word on the tablet of thy heart, all that other is going to do them no good in the judgment day. And so that's what we need to be focusing on. The application of God's Word. God wants His Word written on the tablet of our heart. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Do you remember the new covenant that was prophesied? Jeremiah said, behold, the days will come when I will give a new covenant. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31. Where was that new covenant going to be written? Ultimately, where did God want that placed? Jeremiah 31. It's quoted by the New Testament writer in Hebrews 8:10 and Hebrews 10:16. Jeremiah 31, this is the New Testament. This is the 27 books of the New Covenant. Behold, the days will come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant. Skip on down. Where would this be? I will put my law in their inward parts. Some versions say in their mind. In fact, when the Hebrew writer quotes it, he says, I will put their law in their mind. The inward parts is the mind of man. And in their heart will I write it. There's one more medium, there's one more surface, if you will, where there's going to be some writing, and it has to be our heart. It has to be in the heart of our children. It has to be in our heart. And then there's one other thing that he says about this that we're going to come to at the end of the lesson, and we'll come back to this. One other quality of this new covenant is that in these days they shall all know me from the least of them until the greatest, and we'll talk about that later. But I want to talk about application, writing it in their heart. Jesus spoke of this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 in this children's story that we often teach the children in the Bible class about the man who built his house upon the rock. And then we sing the little children's song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And we sing that little song. And that's a great song. And it's a great story. But it's not just for the children. It's for all of us. And that is, the setting of that was not just about sand and rocks. It's about, what did Jesus say? He who hears these words of mine and does them. Application. Application. Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. That's the point of the lesson that we need to be getting across. And the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, that's everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not. There is no application. You just hear it, but there's no application. Why is there no application? Well, I'm busy with life. I got work, got school, got things going on, this going on, that activity going on, got to get this, got to get that. And I'm hearing words, but I'm not doing them. So I grow up and never become a Christian, not really good with my attendance at church and things like that. But a lot of stuff going on. Application. You see, there's another link in the chain. And this is the link that gets very personal, doesn't it? When we're hearing lessons about manuscripts, you know, and Tyndale and things like that, it's kind of like, well, that's interesting, you know. But this is the one where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This is the one where it gets personal. This is the one where we need to get up and obey. I think it's good to have that background. I enjoy this series of lessons. It's good to know where the Bible comes from. But at the end of the day, we've got to get up and apply it. I think a lot of times people, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 29. I think a lot of people like to talk about the Bible. They like to talk about religious things. They like to, you know, surmise and think and, you know, mull it over in their mind. But at the end of the day, they don't want to obey it. I've had people, you know, Brother Chris, and they'll talk about spiritual things. And, you know, the other day I heard about in some church story or some Bible story. Well, do you want to obey? No, I don't want to obey. I just want to talk religion. There's all that goes on all the time. Look at why God gave us His Word. Deuteronomy 29:29 with regard to Israel. In the old law, the secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. Really? Are we giving it really to our children? That we may do all the words of this law. Not just sit around and talk about it, but do it. So there's got to be the application of the Word of God. Paul even talks about that. He says, listen carefully, Romans 7, this was what was on the previous screen, Romans 2:13. It is not the hearers of the law that are justified, listen carefully, it is the doers of the law that are justified. Oh, I heard a good sermon today. Well, did we get up and do it? We're not justified by hearing a sermon, we're justified by doing a sermon. We got to apply God's Word. So what is the result then? Well, it's the scripture reading that Eric had. Turn back with me now to James chapter 1. What are the results of application when I get up and apply God's Word? Well, then and only then am I blessed. I may need to give up something. I may need to change a bad habit. I may need to repent. I may need to say no to something that is hurting me physically and spiritually and hurting others around me. I may need to stop some things. And when I do that and I come and obey the Lord, then and only then am I blessed. Blessed by God. That's the result. And everybody wants that. If we were to take a poll this morning, all the parents would say, oh, I want my children to be blessed by God and go to heaven. We all want that. But we got to make sure that the Word is in their lives. And we want that. Everybody wants to be blessed, but the blessings come only when we apply the Word of God. Notice what James said, verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We hear the Word of God, but we walk away. We don't apply it. It doesn't do any good. But he that looketh into the perfect law. And by the way, if you're making notes, in verse 25, the word looketh into means to peer intently. It's the same word used in, what is it, Larry, John 21, 20, 21 there, where Peter and John are running to the tomb, John 20.
And it says the other disciple outran him and looked into the tomb. It's to look intently, to peer. It's not just to have a casual glance. You know, scrolling, kind of seeing some words, scrolling. You're studying words. You're looking at words. You're looking at context. You're learning what words mean. You look intently. So look at, read it again with that in mind, verse 25. He that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing, and no other man. This man shall be blessed. It's the man who hears and does. And we look intently. Word studies, context, learning what things mean. Young people, listen. When you read a word in your Bible or in your Bible class book and you don't know what that word means, look it up. Look it up. One of the greatest things my father did to me when I was young was, Chris, go look that up in a dictionary. Every home ought to have just a good dictionary, just a good Webster's dictionary. But we read over things and we really don't know what we're reading and we just pass on, we go on. Every word you don't know what it means, look it up. In fact, we have phones now and tablets and things where we can even look up things quicker. I have an app on my phone, the Webster's Dictionary. Can you imagine that? People, boy, that's a terrible. I just want to, if there's a word, in fact, I think Larry used a word in class that I'd never heard before. I'm going to go look it up. What do things mean in our songs, in our Bibles, in our Bible class workbooks? What do things mean? Look at it. Look intently. Then and only then, when we apply it, are we blessed. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. So, James says, this man, the man who gets up and does it, not just the man who hears it, I've gotten up and I've obeyed the gospel like I'm supposed to. Not just hearing it, talking about it, reading it, commenting on it. I get up and I do it. Or if I'm an erring Christian, I get up and I come back to the Lord. This man is blessed. But not only James. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. We've just finished a very good study in the book of Revelation. I appreciate Larry taking us through that. Do you remember Revelation 1? Revelation is not about speculation. Revelation is about application. It's about applying in the lives of Christians, faithful living. Blessed is he that readeth, verse 3, and they that hear and keep the things that are written. We're blessed when we read it, when we hear it, and when we keep it. And not until then. And there's Bibles laying around everywhere. But people are not reading them, hearing the message, and keeping it. They're just laying around everywhere. The Gideons have them everywhere, which I think is good. They're laying everywhere, in doctor's offices, in hotel rooms. You know what goes on in hotel rooms? And then there's a Bible right there in the drawer. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And 2 feet away, somebody's committing adultery. They're laying around everywhere. But we don't apply it. Turn with me to the end of the book of Revelation. Do you know that at the very beginning of the book, one of the first things that is said is, blessed is the one who hears this and puts it into practice. And one of the last things that is said is the same thing. Look at the very last chapter, chapter 22, verse 7. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. Not just talk about it and speculate about it. And as Larry has been pointing out ably, trying to put all of this stuff into the future and forecast things that the Bible doesn't talk about. Just keep the message, practice it in their lives. Application. But there's one other thing before we close. And here again is where it starts beginning to be very personal. We might think, well, that's it. That's the final link in the chain. We finally have what God wants. From God to man, when I've applied that, well, there's one other thing. And this may be one of the hardest things for us. The previous mention of application can be challenging. We don't want to apply what's in the Word of God. We've got something in our personality, some former habit, something going on where it's hard to apply that Word of God. And that is challenging sometimes that we have to do it. But you know what? There's another thing that is challenging, and that is that the links in the chain, here is the final one. And that is, we are to take the Word of God after applying it, and we're to share it with others. That's God's intention. It doesn't end with the dusty, dirty manuscripts. It ends when we take God's Word and we apply it in our lives and we propagate it, which means to share it with others. So, here is the final link. When we've gone out, having applied it in our lives, and we are now sharing it with others. The chain of God's Word is not complete with the link of application. We have to turn around and share it with others. The spreading of God's Word is the final link. And so let's talk about that before we close. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. God wants His Word written on the tablet of my heart. And that's a tablet you don't have to go to the store and buy. You already got one. You were born with it. You don't have to go buy that tablet. You've got it. We've got to write God's Word on it. Okay? And then after we do that, God wants us to share it with others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 2. Look at the chain of events here, the links, if you will. Paul is writing to Timothy. And the things which you have heard from me, the things would be the gospel message. The things which you have heard from me, Paul, so stop right there. Paul passed on the gospel to Timothy. So there's the sharing of it there. The things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same, don't change it, don't alter it, don't add to it, don't take from it. The same, commit thou to faithful men. That's Timothy turning around. What Paul had shared to him, he shares that to faithful men. And the word there, anthropos, anthropology, other words like that, that is the word that means men and women. Faithful, the word means trustworthy. Trustworthy men and women in the church. You pass that on to them. Now look at it. It doesn't stop right there. Who, these faithful men and women in the church, trustworthy, committed, dedicated, not lukewarm, bench warmers, may come, may not come. Faithful means dedicated, committed, trustworthy, committed to one's trust. These type of men and women in the church who shall be able to teach others also. Paul shared it with Timothy. Timothy shared it with faithful men and women in the church, and they go out and share it with others. That's what God intends. Now, that may be done in different ways. In the local church, the authority, for example, the pulpit, preaching to a mixed audience, that is given to a man. Elders can share the Word of God. Those qualifications are given to men. But we have other ways. We have the older women training the younger women. There's different ways, different roles, different responsibilities in the church where we share that with others. But are we sharing it with others? What good is it if God did everything He did to give us this right here? We've been looking at some 2,000 years worth of the story from God to man. What good is it if it gets into here, but then we don't turn around and pass it on to others? We may not pass it on because of fear. We may not pass it on because we're scared. We don't want to bring up Bible things or spiritual things. Whatever it is, we've got to get over that.
Let's talk about how that we can share God's Word. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Somebody says, Chris, can you tell me what the best translation is? I'll tell you what the best translation is. I'm going to give you the absolute best translation of God's Word. Is he going to say the King James? No. Is he going to say the American Standard, which he preaches out of? No. Do you know what the best translation is? What's the best translation of God's Word ever? It's when God's Word is translated into your life. And you are a walking Bible, as it were. And that's exactly what Paul says. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, being made manifest. Look at it, underscore it in your Bible. You are an epistle of Christ. You. Not one of the 27 books of the New Testament, but you, you're an epistle. Larry's an epistle. Shannon, you're an epistle. You're a letter of Christ. How, Paul? Because it's written in my life. I'm like a walking letter. That's the way it's supposed to be as a Christian. So at school, at work, out in the community, I am a walking letter. You are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, not with ink. We're not talking about a traditional letter where you've got a piece of paper and ink. We're talking about men, the lives of men and women where God's Word is written on their heart. Ministered by us, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in tables that are the hearts. Proverbs 3:3, write it on the tablet of your heart. We share God's Word as we just walk around as a living epistle of Christ. And if we're not, then we need to change. If our speech needs to change, or our immodest dress needs to change, or something that is not an epistle of Christ, attitude, action, thoughts, decisions, whatever that is, if we need to get rid of it, we got to get rid of it so that we can be a walking epistle of Christ. And so we share it through our example. Paul says in Philippians 1:20 that I magnify Christ in my body. Number two, we share the Bible to our family. It's fine to have gadgets and things, and we're working hard and buying our kids things. That's fine. There's a place for some of that. But are we making sure that our children have the Word of God? And so the Israelite home, Deuteronomy 6:6-9, Deuteronomy 11:18-21, write it on the doorpost of your house. Not literally, but it's to be in their children, in their teaching. And young Timothy, from a babe you have known the sacred writings. Well, I don't really see the importance of coming to Bible class and daily Bible reading at home. We're supposed to be sharing the Word of God with our children so that they can grow up and have it in their life. Number three, we need to share the Bible through personal evangelism. And this is the part that I believe for members of the church through the years that's been challenging. We fear inviting someone to a gospel meeting. We fear passing out a tract or a copy of the lesson. We fear setting up a home Bible study. Talk with Eric. He said he's got one set up for us Thursday morning. Someone he's been talking to over on Fifth Avenue, up on the hill there by the old barber shop. Talk with Eric and ask him, I'm serious, ask him the kinds of things that you go through when you first get rejection and no's, and let him talk with you about that. Because I think that's what happened. We just don't want to hear a no. We don't want a conflict. We don't, whatever that is. And he'll tell you how you can work through that, how you can get through that. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, not just the preachers, not just the apostles, not just the elders, but it says the church. That would be the church, the men and women. They were scattered abroad preaching the word. And Philip went down to Samaria. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the elder's job. It's not just, you know, certain ones, members of the church. And as a result of that, Acts 11:19, the church at Antioch got started as a result of just going about preaching the Word of God. Set up that study with that friend, loved one, family member before it's everlasting too late. I'll be glad to help you. But we've got to share the Bible through that. And we know hundreds of people who need the Word of God. share the Bible through teaching others in the local church. The local church, Acts 13:1, had teachers. We've got 2015 coming up. Teaching roster has been filled out, but volunteer to teach. Help out. Titus 2:4. When I was little, there used to be a lot of ladies' Bible classes. We don't see that as much anymore. Older women teaching the younger women. Have we gotten crowded out with things of this life and too many things going on where we can't meet down at the building or in someone's home once a week, ladies' Bible class or men getting together? Hebrews 5:12, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. Will it happen one day that the Lord's church will just die off because we're not passing it on? We're not passing it on. We've just been consumed with the things of this life. Share the Bible through preaching. Let me tell you, men, without hesitation, I say to every man here who's a member of the Lord's church to preach God's word. Qualify yourselves to be an elder. Go home, read those qualifications, and work toward qualifying yourself. Elders are teachers in the church. We need gospel preachers. And even if we don't go full-time into that, we can preach here and there and help out congregations. I want to tell the young men, grow up and be an elder. Grow up and be a gospel preacher. Young ladies, marry someone who wants to preach. Marry someone who wants to be an elder. All of these areas are just going to die off in time if we don't do anything. It's just going to die off. Start now volunteering to teach so that later down the road you can be a regular Bible class teacher. Otherwise, these things just die off. We've got other things going on in our life. I can't be an elder. I can't be a preacher. I can't be a Bible class teacher. I can't teach the young ladies. We've got to share the Word of God. Or it just might be a Bible. Hey, I'm fine with giving people electronic gadgets. That's fine. But what they need more than that is a Bible. Give them a Bible. Birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas present. No occasion at all. Just walk up and give them a Bible. Or donate so that others can give people Bibles. Ron Halbrook every once in a while will go to the Philippines and he would like for some money to buy Bibles to take and give to people. Whatever it is, get the Bible out there. That is the final thing. And when that happens, Isaiah 11:9, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of Jehovah. This is a prophecy in Isaiah 11, verse 9, that was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, and at the time of Christ, the earth was filled with the knowledge of Jehovah. Since then, that's been waxing and waning. And we get to points where it seems like the earth doesn't know much about the Lord. And so it takes us in each generation to preach, share, talk with others. And then one last thing. Turn with me to Colossians 1 and we'll close with this. Wherever God's word goes, whether it's close to home in our marriage or children or far abroad in other countries, wherever God's word goes, it bears fruit. Period. It's the parable of the sower. There will always be good and honest hearts, and wherever God's word goes, Paul says, speaking of the gospel, verse 5, which is come unto you, God's word is come unto you in this city of Colossae, Asia Minor, even as it is also in all the world bearing fruit. It's come to the town of Colossae just like it's come in all of the world, and it's bearing fruit. And that's the result of sharing it. There's going to be some fruit born. Now, there will be people who will reject it. But when we share it with that loved one and that family member and that co-worker and that friend and that neighbor in time, you're going to come across someone where there's going to be some fruit born because you shared it with them. And what a beautiful result that is. And they obey the gospel and they're ready for the judgment day. Well, I hope that this series of lessons has been helpful from God to man. And especially this morning, it's not about dusty, dry, dirty manuscripts. It's about God's Word applied in our lives, written on the tablet of our heart. Is it written there this morning? Or is it a little hard to read? Or a lot of it's there, but not all of it, whatever the case might be. We've got to apply that, and then we've got to turn around and share that with others. Share it with our children. Share it in our own example. If we cannot honestly say this week that I am an epistle of Christ, then whatever's marring that, whatever is messing up that message, let's change that. Then with our example, we can truly bring others to Christ. Make sure that we try to talk with others about the gospel. And again, men, make no apology for saying, especially the young men, you grow up, do some preaching. Become an elder, become a deacon. Young ladies, marry a preacher, marry an elder, marry a deacon. We don't want to lose those things in the Lord's church that He has placed there that provide the means of sharing the Word of God with others. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in any way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and sing and let your needs be made known.